Now let's continue on and come to the book of Colossians, as I mentioned earlier. And let's start in verse 1. Now Paul, in opening every one of his epistles, gives an opening very similar to what he gives right here. And what I want you to do, I want you to think about the words as we read them. Okay? Then think about your current church experience and ask the question, is this what I'm experiencing? And if I'm not, then why not? And if I'm not, then the question becomes, like we talked about with the book here, and these things are here, Lord, what should I do? Okay? Paul, an apostle by the will of God. Now, remember who Paul was before he became Paul? He was Saul. He was the same as Heinrich Himmler. See? So God can convert anyone. And what did Paul finally say of himself in Ephesians, the third chapter? How much did Paul exalt himself over the brethren? He didn't. He said that this knowledge of the mystery of God has been given to me, and I'm the least of all the saints. Think of that, see? That was Paul's attitude. By the will of God. So can God convert a person? Certainly. Conversion is a process, and it's not a slam bang, once done, everything is finished. Okay. By the will of God and Timothy our brother. Now notice verse 2. To the saints and brethren in Christ. What did we talk about? Spirit of Christ. And also, read more there in Romans, the 8th chapter, because we'll talk about, we'll go back there a little bit. But it's very important concerning the government of God in your life personally. And then what is it collectively when we get together? Okay? Who are in Colossae, grace and peace. Notice, he wants you to understand the grace of God comes to you continually. And that's why this latest series, God's Grace and Commandment Keeping, you see. And peace. Not fighting and warring. We don't need fighting and warring. We all have a lot to overcome. I have a lot to overcome. We all have a lot to learn. I have a lot to learn. Listen, we're preparing for eternal life. And if you want to know, let's do this. I don't have here's a pen. Okay, we've done this before, but let's do it again. The dot. Remember the dot? Okay? Take your pen and make a dot on a piece of paper. That's how big we all were when we were conceived. Look at us now. God had all that programmed in there, and look where we are now. Okay? Now, look at that dot again and understand that with the begettal of God's Spirit in us, spiritually speaking, compared to what we will be at the resurrection, we're like this little dot. You know, so why get all exalted? You know? No use getting all exalted. That's why God wants us to love each other, to help each other, to serve each other. See? And when we come together as brethren, we have joy in the Lord, peace in the Lord. That doesn't mean we have to go around and you know, hand clapping, foot stomping, and, you know, rolling in the aisles. All right, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we will make our abode with him, dwelling in us. See? We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you continually. Note that. That's one of the things every minister should be doing, praying for the brethren daily, praying for those who are sick, praying for those who need work, praying for those who have difficulties and problems, and especially when there's turmoil in the church, what happens? Depression. Question. What's happening? How come this is going on? and you hear of the intrigue behind the scenes. Is that from God? Or is that from men? And maybe an additional source behind that as well. Okay? Praying for you continually, since hearing of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have toward all the saints. Now, the report that I got from the feast down there in La Quinta was that it was a fantastic feast and very, very loving, because you all stayed in the same hotel. You had meals provided every night, Monday through Thursday, and they had lots of spirits, wine. And even the whole management and all of the ones working there at the motel got into the spirit of things and were happy to see us, and we were loving each other, learning from each other, and it was just about the right size. See? And likewise in all the feast sites. Because we're doing like Paul. We're looking to God the Father and Jesus Christ. We're not exalting any man. See? God works through men, but those he works through, and God is working through all the brethren, correct? All right, we'll see the relationship here a little later on. Let's go ahead. This way you'll understand more the real government of God when we get into it, okay? Love toward all the saints. Because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you even as it is also in all the world. Now this then becomes a prophecy as well as a statement that Paul wrote at that time, which is bringing forth fruit, just as it is among you from the day that you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Now you can hear of the grace of God not in truth, and that's mostly in the Protestant organizations. Now notice, even as you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, who is a faithful minister for you. Notice the difference in the approach and the attitude of those who are helping Paul. Same attitude, you see. Who has also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Because, see, the love of God is manifest through the Spirit of God. For this cause, we also from the day that we heard of it do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled. This is the whole purpose, see, of what God is doing. And now today we can have this fulfilled even more. Notice that you can be filled with the knowledge of his will. Isn't that the most important thing? Instead of, Lord, what should I do? Lord, what are you doing? His answer is, I got it in the book. Okay. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, not just the carnal understanding of intellect or power of thought of human beings, you see. Because what happens, you know, you read Romans, the first chapter, those who profess themselves to be wise become foolish. Why? Because the first thing they do is reject God, and they end up saying, oh, everything came from nothing. Started with a big bang. You know what God's answer is? Go get your own big bang. Okay? That you may walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. I'm going to get a sermon. You must have works. What kind? Okay? And growing in the knowledge of God. This is why we have Sabbath services every week, see? God wants us to grow up into Christ. That's a tall order. Being strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory unto all endurance and long-suffering with joy. Eye shows there are going to be difficulties, there are going to be troubles. We can overcome them all. We don't have to worry. Trust in God. You've heard it said, how many times since you've been in church? Prayer and study, correct? But what has been missing The prayer and study is for a relationship or fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That is the primary important thing in our lives. What has happened too much in churches of God, as well as churches of the world, they have made getting together for church meetings as the primary thing. That is only fruitful when you've taken care of your relationship first. See? Notice Paul said he prayed daily. Do we pray daily? Do we cry out to God daily? Are we yielding to God? If we're doing that and be filled with the love of God, what happens when we come together to meet? Well, we love each other. We accept each other. We know God is dealing with us. We don't have to have these fights. We don't have to have hassles. We don't have to have any of that stuff. You don't have to wonder what's going on. You'll know what's going on. God is working in your life and the lives of everyone. Okay? Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has made us qualified. Isn't that interesting? Who has made us qualified for the share of the inheritance of the saints in the light. How many times have you heard it? Oh, brethren, you got to do this to be qualified. No. You go to God the Father and through His Spirit, through His Word, through His character being built in you, He qualifies you. See? Because you belong to the Father. All right, let's go on. Never forget this, verse 13. Who has personally rescued us. Now, it depends on the severity of your situation. See? Have you ever been in a very severe situation where you needed to be rescued? Well, as I wrote in the recent letter, think about the miners 2,200 feet below. Okay? Down there for 17 days, they didn't know whether they were going to live or going to die. They didn't know whether anyone knew that they were there or not. Okay? And someone says, well, there weren't 33 down here. There were 34 because God was with us. Can God be with the workers down there? Let's not be so stupid and foolish as to think that God only works with those who are supposed to be His and nobody else in the world. Can God answer prayers of anybody in the world anywhere? Yes. Were they down there praying? Yes. Were they sincere? Boy, if you're 2,200 feet down in a tomb, you're going to be sincere, right? Oh, Lord, help. See. Okay, He did. He put it in their minds, in the minds of the officials, to drill a hole down to that safety chamber to see if they were there, because they couldn't pronounce them dead until they officially knew they weren't alive. So they drilled down there and they said, hello, we're here. See? Okay. Then they were rescued. God the Father has rescued us personally from Satan the devil. Now think of what that means. It means this. Why go to the false Christian worlds of this world and say, oh, how should I worship God? They don't know because God is not there. God could be. Many things that they do are right. They're blessed because of it. But that doesn't mean they're converted, because what did we start out with? If anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So they belong to the many that Jesus said would believe and follow, though they preach the name of Christ. Okay, let's go on here. Qualified us for the share of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who has personally rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us unto the kingdom of the Son of His love. That means unto, not into. Why? Why are you not in the kingdom of God right now? You're unto. You're physical. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So what was one of the first doctrines we heard years ago? Oh, you're already in the kingdom of God. See? Unto the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now, what does that mean? Some people read this and say, oh, well, Jesus was a created being. What does this mean? Well, we will see in just a minute. It means of all the created beings which were being created in the image of Christ, right? Okay. Was Christ the firstborn from the dead? That's what it's talking about, not his physical birth. Okay? Let's read on. Because by him were all things created. Now, if he was created, how could he create all things? Did he create himself? No. All things created, the things in heaven, the things on the earth, the visible, the invisible, whether they be thrones or lordships or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all, and by him all things subsist. Now, just put in your notes there, Hebrews 1 through 3. By his word, he holds up all the universe. Now, notice, verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church. We're all connected to Christ. The church is the body of Christ, not the corporate organization. Okay? The body of Christ consists of everyone, wherever they are, that has the Spirit of God. So as God looks down on the earth, his view of the church is far different than when we come together to meet on the Sabbath day. All right? Who is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead. Now that's what it means, the firstborn of all creation. He was the firstborn from among the dead to become resurrected as the very Son of God, who was God before he became Jesus in the flesh. All right. So that in all things he might hold the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Now here's the key. Verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heaven. Then it talks about how we were alienated by wicked works, etc. Now let's come down here to verse 26. Paul talks about completing the word of God, verse 25. Even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. Now think about this. How much of the word of God do we know today? We know a lot. Do we know more than other generations in the past? Yes. Are we living in the end times when it was told Daniel that in the end, the wise shall understand, but none of the wicked shall understand? Okay. If we're wise and have understanding, where does that come from? We just read it here. Wisdom comes from God. So everything we know, brethren, let's never get conceited and get puffed up. You know, church against church or brethren against brethren say, well, we know this, you don't know that, you know. And where have you been all this time? That's not the way it should be, see? But we have given to us the greatest opportunity of any generation in the history of the churches of God. And unfortunately, there are too many who fall into that nasty Laodicean spirit, right? I think the best way to overcome being a Laodicean is this. We have been Laodiceans from day one, right? That's where all of our problems are coming from, correct? But we can repent, can't we? Yes. Let's go on. Okay. To whom God did will to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Now notice this. which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that's where we started, correct? If any have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if any does not have the Spirit of him who raised him from the dead, see, if you do, he's going to quicken your mortal bodies. All right. Now let's come over here to chapter 2 for just a minute. Okay. Now I'm not going to go through all chapter 2. We have quite a few sermons online concerning this. But here is the encroaching of pagan doctrines into the church. And remember that at the end he says, when you're done reading this in the church of Colossae, read it to the, have it read in the church of the Laodiceans as well. Okay? So this is a message for us today. All right. Let's go on here. Chapter 2. Let's pick it up in verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, be walking in him, being rooted and built up in him, and being confirmed in the faith exactly as you were taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And we saw earlier, growing in grace and knowledge, growing in grace and knowledge. You know, brethren, as long as we live, as long as we study the Bible, we can grow in grace and knowledge. We're never going to learn everything that's in the Bible, even though we have the whole Bible. Why? Because it's inspired by the mind of God. Every word is God-breathed. And there's precept upon precept and line upon line. And here a little, there a little. So we grow in grace and knowledge continually. And the whole thing we need to do, brethren, is learn as much as we can and have that all ready for those who come after us. You know, a lot of us mistakenly thought, you know, I remember, you know, years back, we thought, hey, we'd never get old, but hey, look at us now. Okay? Then the question becomes, what are we going to leave for those who follow us? Because they're going to follow us. And I think that a good number of us gray hairs, senior citizens, you know, we're going to go to our place of safety. And that is called, or spelled, G-R-A-V-E. Okay? Won't you be perfectly safe there? Yes, indeed. Okay? And those who die in the faith have assurance that they're going to be resurrected. And so when that happens, it'll happen with us. It happened recently. So what is our focus, those of us who are still alive? That, hey, we're going to meet them in glory. So we need to double down and do better, right? Now, just a little sidebar. I believe that when we're resurrected, God is going to implant in our minds all the same language. Otherwise, how are we going to communicate? See, on the sea of glass, where the saints are resurrected to meet Christ and all be there together, correct? It's not going to be another Tower of Babel where no one knows who's saying what. Hello, who are you? I'm looking for Moses. No, we're all going to have the same language, okay? There are going to be some great things take place on the sea of glass. So focus on that and realize what God is doing to us and realize that our lives are like that little speck on the piece of paper. And when the resurrection occurs, we're going to go, whoa, look at that. Now, just how all that's going to work out, that's all in God's hands, see? Our job is to make it to that place of safety 6 feet under. For those who are alive, it's your job to witness for Christ, and whatever may come, may come. Now, there will be some few taken to a place of safety, but believe me, it's not going to work out the way that most people think. All right, let's go on here. Chapter 2. Okay. Being built up in him, now verse 4, be on guard. So we are to be on guard and watch out. This is what has to happen internally within the church. And every one of us are responsible for this. Okay? Verse 8, chapter 2. Be on guard so that no one takes you captive, or as the King James says, makes a prey of you, through philosophy and vain deceit. What is philosophy? The foundation of the religions of this world. Start bringing in, remember what happened? Remember you had that long series? What is God? Remember the booklet came out? What is God? Someone asked me, what do you think of this? I said, this is designed to confuse you so they can change the doctrine. That's why you have to be on guard. Now, if you're not praying, if you're not studying, and if you don't know the scriptures, then the subtleties can come in and you become a prey. Notice, according to the traditions of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ, for in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him. Okay? That tells us what? We don't need the philosophies of men. We don't need the teachings of other religions. We need Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. Well, I'm not going to go on much more there in chapter 2. Let's come to chapter 3. Okay? Now, this gives us and leads up to what is the government of God. All right. Verse 1. Here is the goal to always keep in mind. And all this chapter 3, because we're also going to learn what is the government of God in your life. Okay? Therefore, if you have been raised together with Christ, that is from the watery grave, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died through baptism, and your life has been hid together with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is manifested, then you shall be manifested with him in glory. Now notice how Paul does this. Over and over again, you will see this is the design of the Bible because it's inspired of God or God-breathed. God gives the goal. He gives the instruction. He gives the warning. And then he tells us what to do. See that right here? Here's what we are to do. Keep your mind on Christ, your eyes on the goal, your heart right with God, and then do this to the flesh. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, sexual immorality, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That's called in one word, overcoming. It's called in another word, bringing every thought into captivity to Christ. See? When something comes up, because a temptation will come along, be sure and go through the sermon. What is that? The steps to sin? Temptation or a thought in the mind is not sin, but it can lead to sin. So what do you do when a temptation comes in? You mentally grab a hold of it. You mentally cast it down. You ask God for help and strength to overcome. You ask for the Spirit of God to have the washing of the water by the Word. You see, and to take all of those things, because everything that we are, and this is why all the church wars that we go through are really so terrible. Because it creates emotional problems. It creates doubts. It creates fear. It creates inordinate control over the brethren. And also, all those combined create mental angst. You ever gone through that? You ever come home from church just all feels like everything is grating the wrong way? That's mental angst. Okay? Now, put that all on Christ. Get rid of that. See? The reason is, and I'm convinced, much of the sickness that we have within the church is because of church wars. So get out of the way of the line of fire. See? And I mean serious things. Well, that's why it's important that we forgive. That's why it's important that we ask God to deal with those who perpetrate such things. Okay? Pray for their repentance. Pray that God will lead them to the truth. Now, they have it right there in front of them. Will they do it or not? See? Don't be mad at them and let that linger in your mind and let that build up resentment and let that build up bitterness, because you can be guaranteed you're going to come down to something very serious if you do. See? Stop and think about that. Okay, let's go on. Now, let's come down here to verse 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man together with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. That's the whole purpose of conversion, brethren. You see it? See how far that when there are church wars, they miss the mark. Follow this man, follow this man, follow the other man. Hey, stop, whoa, time out. Look to Christ, follow Christ. That's what to do, see? Ask God to help you and lead you what you need to do. And those of us who have been through it and we found peace and knowledge and understanding, be a helping hand to them. Be a helping hand so that they can recover themselves. Okay? Now, verse 12, put on then, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, deep inner affections, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. That's the key thing, see? If any has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you should forgive. Above all these things, put on love. That's the key. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being, you see. And we have to pray about that every day. I pray every day, brethren, that God will lead all of us to walk in faith, believe in hope, and live in love. That's what it has to be. If there is not the love of God out there in Christ and God the Father to lead us, to inspire us, you see, God wants us to be inspired. When you're inspired, you can overcome, right? Can you overcome if someone is up there with a whip beating you and lashing you with words? No. We all come to Christ. We all come to the truth. We all desire the love of God, you see, and that God would inspire us. And he will. And he does. See? Now notice. Okay? And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now, here is the government of God directly in your life. It's not the church. It's not the minister. It's not the deacon. It's no one else but God the Father and Jesus Christ to you. Right here. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's the government of God. All right? Now, let's put in your notes here Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. See? That's the government of God. Yes, we're to follow those who are serving you. But we'll talk about this afternoon, what is the role of the ministry and the elders in all of this? See? What should that be? And how, if that is properly done, all of us together, we can overcome these things. We don't need church wars. We don't need church fights. We don't need to have anything against anyone else. If there's a problem, pray that God will help him overcome it. If there's a difficulty that is so bad, we have the process that Jesus talked about as recorded in Matthew 18. You go to your brother, right? Yes. Don't go to someone else. Go to the one involved. If you're afraid to go to the one involved, then you start out by saying, well, I do need to talk to you, but I'm kind of afraid to talk to you. Okay, now you phrase it that way so that you will disarm the person so that they won't, how should we say, get really angry and mad at you. Now, if we're all doing that, see, so if we're all doing that, as we have right here, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And where did Paul start out? See, go back and read right here. Yes. Where is it? Verse 2, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That is the direct government of God to you. See, it is spiritual, internal, and not outward. I mean, not from outside, from other people to you, but from God through his Spirit directly to you and in you and through you. That's where it is, see? Now, when we get together, do we have order and things here? Yes, we do. Unfortunately, some run the churches like it was an army. Never does, see? Okay. So if we all do this, look, brethren, we're all in this together. That's what we need to understand. See? That's what we need to realize. So with the current church war just starting to heat up again, pray for the brethren. Help them to see. You see, it gets so bad that even some churches of God stand up in the pulpit and say, you cannot go visit any other church of God. You cannot talk to anyone who belongs to any other church but this one. You cannot even talk to your own relatives because they're unconverted. Well, how's that for the love of God? Huh? That's not the love of God. Did Jesus talk to people in the world? Yes. What's the one thing that did, what does it say there about the husband and the wife? 1 Corinthians 7. If you have an unbelieving husband or unbelieving wife, what is it? You win them over by your conduct, by your love, you see? You don't say, well, if you're a woman, say, well, I don't have to submit to you because you're not in the church. The husband might say to his wife who's not in the church, well, you know, I'm going to treat you differently because you're not in the church. God doesn't want that. Does he even want carnal people to love one another? Yes. Well, how much more all of us? See? That's why if you have brethren in some other church, you want to go visit them, go visit them. Call them on the phone. Talk to them. Have them over to your house. If we're all in Christ, what are we afraid of? There's nothing to be afraid of, but that's a spirit of fear and control. Who is to rule in your life? Christ, or the edict of a minister, Christ. See, that's what it's all about. So let's go ahead and take a break, and let's have something to eat, and we'll let them enjoy their music while we're eating, and we'll come back after that. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.